WTAW News Time is 4 minutes after 7. It's 45 degrees. This look at news is brought to you by David's Jewelry and Coin Exchange. They buy, sell, and trade gold and silver, diamonds and jewelry, watches and collectible coins, and consistently pay the most. Learn more at davidsjewelryandcoins.com. Good morning, I'm Chelsea Reber. Bryan police continue to look for those responsible for shooting someone Saturday afternoon north of Midtown Park. BPD social media reports the victim was treated at a hospital and released for non-life-threatening injuries after they were shot on Duncan Avenue. That shooting followed gunfire Saturday morning east of Haswell Park, which caused more than $2,500 of property damage. More information has been released about the driver of a car that led multiple law enforcement agencies on last week's high-speed chase from North Bryan to north of Navasota. The Bastrop County Sheriff's Office posted on its Facebook page that shortly before the chase, an arrest warrant on a murder charge was issued for 22-year-old Raul Caballero, who lived in the BCS area. Caballero was accused of killing his 19-year-old girlfriend in Bastrop County December 30th. Investigators believe the woman was living with Caballero, who remains hospitalized after Bryan police reported he shot himself after crashing the car. A College Station man who went into the driver's license office to renew his license left the building with a DPS trooper to go to the Brazos County Jail. The DPS arrest report states a trooper smelled the strong odor of fresh marijuana coming from the car. The trooper then found a large vacuum-sealed bag that was open and contained marijuana residue. The trooper also found a THC vape pen. That led to the arrest of 18-year-old Placido Rodriguez for possession of a controlled substance. What was originally a $2.6 million design contract for Bryan's Midtown Park, which is now almost $4 million, is proposed to increase another $250,000.
The Bryan City Council takes up a ninth contract amendment at tomorrow's meeting. Almost all the additional money goes towards designing 253 parking spaces, along with sidewalks, ramps, and storm drainage. All this would be along a road connecting Villa Maria near the existing Pro Shop to the roundabout that leads to Big Shots. The estimated construction cost is more than $3 million. The amendment also covers cost overruns related to the design of Midtown Park's Outer Loop Trail, along with designing additional features on and along the trail between the lake and the Girl Scouts house. Bill Oliver, 1620-945-WTAW.
Tomorrow's Bryan City Council business includes making changes to the city's future street plan. There was no opposition from the Planning and Zoning Commission when recommendations were made last month by traffic engineer Zachary Kinnard. One is canceling future plans for a freeway overpass between Briarcrest and University.
Removal of the proposed Oak Hill overpass, that is due to the improvements on the bridges of Highway 6 that TxDOT is going to do. That overpass will be unneeded in the future.
Kinnard said TxDOT is removing the Highway 47 crossover between Villa Maria and Leonard Roads, and changes are being made with streets inside the Oakmont and Rudder Point developments. Two men from Bedice have been indicted by a Grimes County grand jury in the murder of a Navasota teen almost 2 years ago. Alfredo Garza and Eric Segovia are back in the Grimes County jail after they were out on bond following their arrest last year. Sister station Navasota News reports a Navasota high school student, 18-year-old Anthony Williams, was shot to death in Bedice. Prosecutors have not released a motive. WTAW News Time is 8 minutes after 7. It's 45 degrees. This look of news is brought to you by David's Jewelry and Coin Exchange. More news at 7:30 or anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber for 1620-945-WTAW.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. It's Monday. Thanks for being with us. It's the Infomaniacs. We're in the WC Tractor Studio, your local award-winning Kubota New Holland dealer in Bryan and Navasota. Pretty good week of weather ahead of us. Let's have a look at least for today and tomorrow. It's brought to you by the folks at United Roofing and Sheet Metal, home of the Duralast Roof System, world's best roof. Give them a call at 268-ROOF. Go to unitedroofingpros.com.
We'll have some cloudiness around this morning, then sunshine takes over for the afternoon. Mid-60s today, partly cloudy overnight. Some patchy fog may develop late, low 50s. Becoming mostly sunny, nice and mild Tuesday, mid-70s. Becoming mostly cloudy, upper 50s Tuesday night. And a mix of sun and clouds Wednesday, high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Doug Webster, 1620-945-WTAW.
And I'm Zach Taylor on WTAW. Coming up in sports, it was an up-and-down weekend for Texas A&M Hoops. The guys getting a win Saturday, the girls, the women, falling yesterday. So we'll talk about that, as well as the College Football National Championship and the NFL, both Cowboys and Texans in action yesterday.
in sports.
There you go. How many pairs of footwear do you have? We want to know that this morning.
Yeah, we'd also like to know if you are male or female, if you don't mind us asking. And we do need your first and last name if you want to win. Our number is 979-695-1620. So far, we've only had men text in. So, ladies, we need to hear from you, too. How many pairs of footwear, heels, shoes, sandals, sneakers, all of it.
Crocs.
Yep. Let us know. 979-695-1620.
Yeah, that's a number that I just don't know off the top of my head. I ended up adding to it yesterday. I went and got some shoes, dressy-type shoes.
Mm-hmm. Dressy-type shoes?
Dressy-type shoes.
Well, they're dressy slash casual. They're like those in-betweeners.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Like what Buzz wears?
I guess. I haven't paid attention to his feet. I just know he has lots of different t-shirts. Kind of like those in-betweens.
Which is, they've become a deal.
Yeah.
So they look like a dress shoe, but they definitely have, features of what a sneaker or a tennis
shoe
would.
They do?
Yeah, like
Hush. Is what I'm thinking of. I don't know exactly what you
have. Yeah, no, that is. Kind of like Hush Puppies, I guess.
Well, that Hush Puppies started that way. There's actually a company called Rockport that's been doing this for a while.
Okay.
In that they look, the top of the shoe looks really dressy.
Right.
But the bottom isn't. The bottom is soft.
Right.
It's soft on the inside. And
it's necessarily a hard sole.
Exactly. I believe Mr. Downs has some of those. Mm-hmm. He uses those. I started buying them a number of years ago.
I think they look sharp, too, some of the newer styles.
And they'll have tread, like a tennis shoe would.
Yes.
But these things, the original Rockports, didn't have the change in color on the sole, which what you see now.
Sure.
A lot of them have one color.
They have white other stuff. Yeah, they did. They basically were shoes that could be very, very dry. I have some wingtips that look like that.
Yeah.
And so that was pretty cool, pretty functional to be able to do that.
But it's a little bit more comfortable. You can go off-road with them.
Well, something like that. It's just the idea you were in them all day. And men decided they wanted their feet to be comfortable. Women somehow continue to make that sacrifice.
Still getting there. It depends. There are still some heels out there getting better than others. There's different designs and things like that. Well, not necessarily sporty heels, but I do feel like, especially in the last few years, you're starting to see less of the stiletto, more of that block heel or even a platform shoe, which means that it may have a heel and it's tall, but so does the ball of the foot.
Yeah.
It's also got a block platform on it, so that way when your foot's actually in it. I just bought a pair recently, so they're nice. They look like a pair of high heel dress shoes. Like, they'll be great for an event or whatever, but my actual foot is not at a very harsh angle.
Right.
It's pretty flat, and so it feels I'm taller, imagine that, but I'm still walking on a basically flat surface.
Okay. And for decades, for ladies who had to commute, for instance, in subway trains and things like that.
Yes, got your
they'd wear their
tennis, driving loafers.
Exactly, whatever they happen to be. And then, in your purse, you'd have your office shoes and do that. So that has been a deal for a while. Anyway, we're giving away some Cooper's Old Time Pit Barbecue. If you'd like to let us know what your count is when it comes to that. So, I should have done this before. We were doing the story about the president making his first trip to the border. Made me remember an old Eddie Raven song from years ago. This was a hit for him, as a matter of fact.
I just got tired of that same old job. Tired of fighting that freeway mob. I bet you never thought I'd really go. I'd never get as far as Mexico. I'm eating right and I'm living good.
Joe's living good.
Doing everything I said I would. I should have left a long time ago. Who needs you? I've got Mexico.
It's all good and fun until El Chapo's son gets kidnapped.
That happened, didn't it? Well, as I'm listening to that song, I'm going, Kenny Chesney had this island vibe, and Eddie Raven was really way ahead of him when he did that, because that's got that kind of calypso
right
to it, kind of fun. Anyway, we hope the president has fun while he's down in Mexico, and maybe he learns about some pretty cool stuff. So Doritos is starting 2023 with a twist on traditional barbecue.
Okay.
The new snack, which combines spices, sweetness, and tanginess, is available now in major retailers nationwide. So it's called Sweet and Tangy Barbecue.
You know, but it's already been done. Lay's has had that potato chip for how long
but
now?
But that's a potato chip. It's not a corn chip.
It's not a Dorito.
Right.
Exactly. So, yeah, Dorito, I really haven't, I don't think they've come out with a new flavor in a while, so this might be good for them.
Just, we'll see how it plays.
I mean, their nacho cheese and Cool Ranch are going to forever be staples, I think,
OGs.
In the chip community, which is great. But, you know, you think about it, they do have a pretty good vehicle for flavor, and you don't see a ton of new flavors come out. So when they do, I feel like they're usually pretty good.
The other thing is they roll it out a month before the Super Bowl, you know, which is
That's true.
Pretty smart. They get it out there, maybe get it established, because obviously people are going to look for new snackaroos when it comes to that. So, we'll see.
New snackaroos
before they have the commercials.
See how that happens, right.
I would be so interested to see Super Bowls of years gone by that would no longer fly. You know what I mean? Like, you think back to some of the most iconic, well, not maybe not
Super
the most
Bowl,
iconic.
What, commercials?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You didn't say commercials.
Said
Super Bowls.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
I was
I
don't know if you can change the game.
It was still football back then, believe it or not. Yes,
gotcha.
I meant commercials and how things have changed so much over the years, because certainly society has.
Yeah.
Well, and just that whole way that the commercials are used now, because we see it now. It used to be guaranteed, I don't know, for maybe 10 years, 12, maybe longer than that, because I'm old and I can't remember. But, I mean, maybe 20 years that we would all go out and buy our copies of USA Today and bring them into the studio, because they did an ad ranker. They were the only ones doing an ad ranker back then. And so you had the next morning the way the ads had done as far as scoring with people who were watching. So we know that Budweiser's whatever was the number one commercial. Well, now, heck, they roll them out ahead of time, which is really smart, because you've invested a lot of money in this commercial and you really would like to use it up. I mean, if you use whoever a big star is and you put them in your commercial, or several of them in your commercial, you want to make sure that message gets seen. Then it's not just on the Super Bowl, because what if
it's forever there, right, if it's on YouTube.
And that's the other thing, and then it's also there. So they do the pre, they do it in the show itself, and then they run it maybe just in regular television or online afterwards for a long, long time. So with the exception of the Apple 1984 commercial, which we all know only ran one time and is on the Super Bowl and all
that's
that
true.
Kind of stuff. But nonetheless, don't know. Be interesting to go back and see commercials from, say, the fifth Super Bowl and see if they were anything. And as we talked about, too, the kind of things they had, like the Tulane Band as the halftime show.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty stellar
stuff. That would be interesting, yeah.
Pretty stellar stuff as to what you're looking for. Hey, a study published in the journal Nutrients found that men who consume energy drink and sweetened coffee are at a higher risk of going bald.
Oh, interesting.
Just letting you know.
Got that going for me, which is nice.
I had that one more thing. We thought it was genetics. I mean, really did.
Now you can blame it on your sweetened coffee and energy drinks.
Men who drank one sweetened drink daily saw a 42% increase in their likelihood to lose hair compared to those who never drank
42%?
Sweet drinks.
That's a high percentage.
That is astronomically high.
They studied 1,000. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. They didn't tell me this.
No.
Researchers studied 1,000 Chinese men.
Oh.
Between the ages of 18 and 45.
Not only is it a small sample.
It's what's that 42%?
Not here.
Not around here.
What's that 42% equal in American?
Yeah. However, it said these men also tended to eat more fast food and fewer vegetables. I don't know. Does that say there may be other conditions?
I really do think that your diet could affect that.
Oh,
though.
I don't think there's any doubt.
Right.
I mean, your body is a machine. There's no doubt.
But the question is, if you start eating healthier, is your hair going to grow back?
No, there you have to pay for some sort of...
I was going to say, I feel like you have to go and get that procedure.
Go get the treatment thing. Good morning, 722. It's the Infomaniacs. Thanks for joining us here this morning in the WC Tractor Studio, your local award-winning Kubota New Holland dealer. In Bryan and Navasota, weather we'll look at in detail, but it's a pretty nice week, as a matter of fact. Hey, did you guys wake up because of the rain the other night? Because I did not, except for one clap of thunder. And then I find out we got a lot of rain.
Yeah, I did not. No. Man. Was that what, Friday night?
Yeah, no, Saturday night.
Oh, Saturday night. Okay, Saturday. Nope, I didn't.
Yep. I saw some lightning before I went to sleep.
Yeah.
But again, I live west of town, so.
Yeah, but still, I mean, it ended up being a ton of rain out there.
That,
which is, I guess we're ahead for the year. At least for right now.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
We finally graduated to adult status and got our rain gauge, so that
was
important.
Nice. Yeah.
Did you? What kind of rain gauge is it?
We got a Dachshund rain gauge.
Oh.
My wife wanted one for Christmas, and she loves
all things.
Is it vertical? Yes.
Okay.
Well, the Dachshund itself is horizontal.
Oh, okay.
But it's back behind it. I'll have to send you guys a picture.
Yeah.
Okay, so now where did you put it?
We put it on one of our side fences in the backyard.
Okay.
So it's actually between two houses.
Ah, okay.
But I think there's enough space that, you know, if the rain's coming in a slant or something, it's not going to affect how much goes in.
Okay, now is it like just like a test tube type thing, or
yes.
Has it got a large opening at the top?
It's a test tube.
Okay.
It's got its own little separate glass cylinder. Tube type thing that you slide in, but the Dachshund is behind it.
Yeah, I don't know what an official rain gauge looks like anymore, but used to be one of the things we had to do at the radio station was go outside and check our rain gauge, because we had like a big time rain gauge about the size of your forearm. Okay, because that way you could do it by tenths of an inch.
Gotcha.
Because, you know, we were a radio station, we needed to be able to tell you
as
how much
accurate
rain you
as
got.
Possible
exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And so it had an opening that I don't know was probably it's kind of like it had a funnel that was maybe 3.5-4 inches mm-hmm. across. And then it falls down into something.
Sounds really heavy duty.
Well, it was heavy duty. And I want to say the closest thing it would look like was maybe the tube inside a paper towel, a roll of paper towels.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, the circumference of it was pretty large. And that was so that I guess if we ended up getting 6 inches of rain, you know, they'd be able to fill it up. But it was really kind of interesting to do that. And we didn't have to write it down like we did the transmitter numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we had to go outside and do that. And now, of course, they do that for us all over the place.
Where'd you dump it?
Where did we dump it? Oh, we just dumped it right there.
Okay.
Now, and the other thing, if you're an old, you know, if you're an old person, about where the rudder fountain is,
mm-hmm.
okay, that's – they had – right there, they had a weather station on campus that was right there, just a little box that sat there. Because you know that the official temperature has to be in shade and shaded from wind, has to be protected from wind.
Oh, okay.
And it can't have the sun shining on it, because that would be an official temperature.
Because it would evaporate some of it.
Well, the idea that the wind would, you know, because we know a wind chill is humidity plus the wind, and that's not an accurate temperature reading. And if you're standing in the sun, that's not a temperature reading
sure.
is accurate.
Okay,
so
that makes sense.
You need to be in the shade to get a true reading.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so it was. It was this box that's like 6 feet off the ground, a little white box. And I know. Okay, sorry.
Oh, that's
I know.
Great. Awesome.
That's so like, yeah, old
trip
guy
down
stuff.
Memory lane.
Yeah, that's right. That was a long time ago, back when you could easily find a parking place on campus.
WTAW News time is 7:31. It's 45 degrees. This Look at News is brought to you by West Webb, Allburton and Gentry Law Firm, the experienced legal team for the things you value most. Good morning. I'm Chelsea Reber. The Bastrop County Sheriff's Office announces Bryan College Station connections to a murder investigation that included last week's high-speed chase through the Twin Cities that ended north of Navasota. According to the Bastrop County Sheriff's Facebook page, the victim is believed to have been living with the suspect in the BCS area. The 19-year-old victim was found December 30th in Bastrop County with a gunshot wound to the facial area. After investigators learned that the suspect was driving the victim's vehicle and was using a cell phone, that contributed to obtaining an arrest warrant on a murder charge. Shortly after the warrant was received on Wednesday, Bryan police found the victim's car in North Bryan near Highway 6 and Harvey Mitchell Parkway. That led to a high-speed chase down Highway 6 that ended in the suspect crashing the car near the Navasota River. When officers approached the car, they found the suspect on the driver's side with a single gunshot wound to the head. As of Thursday, 22-year-old Raul Caballero remained hospitalized with a life-threatening wound. The last 2 weeks of December, Bryan police responded to 6 shootings. 2 more took place on Saturday. WTW News has asked for more information about what happened after 9:30 Saturday morning east of Haswell Park, where an unknown number of shots were fired on Freeman Avenue, where more than $2,500 of damage took place. Saturday afternoon, one person was treated at the hospital and released for non-life-threatening injuries after they were shot north of Midtown Park on Duncan Avenue. Another joint effort between the cities of Bryan and College Station has gone away.
This Thursday, the College Station City Council is asked by staff how to proceed with spending federal money designated for public service agencies. This is after the Bryan City Council voted to dissolve a joint committee. According to the city of College Station, both cities distributed since 1985 a combined $10 million to 50 nonprofit health and human service programs that primarily benefit low to moderate income residents. College Station has $177,000 to allocate during the remainder of the fiscal year. This separation follows last year's decision by College Station to reduce the number of mutual aid fire calls in the Bryan. And 2.5 years ago, College Station created its own tourism office, which ended the experienced BCS agency. Bill Oliver, 1620-945 WTAW.
Future plans for streets and bridges in Bryan are being changed. The City Council during tomorrow's meeting will consider amendments that were recommended last month by the Planning and Zoning Commission. Traffic engineer Zachary Kinnard says the changes include two housing developments east of the freeway.
The Oakmont development, all of these proposed lines that were made back in 2016 obviously don't really line up with the planned and existing development now, so we'll be adjusting those to match the existing development. Same here with Rudder Point over off of Old Reliance.
And plans for a freeway overpass between Briarcrest and University at Oak Hill Drive is proposed to go away due to the upcoming freeway expansion. An 18-year-old man from the Woodlands makes two visits to the Brazos County Jail in a three-week period due to one incident a month ago at the Park West Apartments on Texas A&M's West Campus. On December 7th, University police took Bradley Salzman to the hospital due to his high level of intoxication. Then he went to jail on a public intoxication charge. He pleaded no contest in a JP court on the 14th. Then on the 29th, Salzman returned to jail on warrants charging him with three counts of assault causing bodily injury. A UPD spokesman tells WTW News that a friend of Salzman tried to calm him down because he was so intoxicated and belligerent. Salzman is accused of choking the friend, pushing one woman to the ground and choking her, and holding a second woman to the ground. A Bryan man is admitted to assaulting five people during two incidents that took place in 2020. In Brazos County District Court last week, 23-year-old Jordan Gonzalez was sentenced to a total of 4 years. The first incident was aggravated assault when he used his pickup truck to rear-end an ex-girlfriend's car multiple times while she was driving with her two children and a sister inside. Gonzalez also admitted to assaulting another woman who was pregnant. He waived his right to appeal the conviction and punishment, which could have been as much as 20 years for the aggravated assaults and up to 10 years. For striking the pregnant woman. A 42-year-old College Station man with four DWI convictions in Travis County has admitted to his fifth that took place in Brazos County. Bryan police arrested Salvador Garcia in March of 2021, and the district attorney's office reported his blood alcohol level was 1.5 times the legal limit. A plea agreement reached last week sentenced Garcia to 13 years with no right to appeal. WTAW's sister station, Maverick 100.9, has received three nominations from the Texas Regional Music Awards. Maverick is a nominee for Large Market Station of the Year. Corliss is a nominee for Large Market Personality. And the Cook and Corliss program is a finalist in the syndicated specialty show category. The winners will be announced on March 27th. WTAW News Time is 7:36. It's 45 degrees. This look of news is brought to you by West Webb, All Britain, and Gentry. More news at the top of the hour. I'm Chelsea Reber for 1620-945 WTAW.
1620-945 WTAW. It's the Infomaniacs. We're in the WC Tractor Studio, your local award-winning Kubota and New Holland dealer in Bryan and Navasota. Our weather is brought to you by United Roofing and Sheet Metal, home of the Duralast Roof System, world's best roof. Give them a call at 268-ROOF. Go to unitedroofingpros.com today.
We'll have some cloudiness around this morning, then sunshine takes over for the afternoon. Mid-60s today, partly cloudy overnight. Some patchy fog may develop late, low 50s. Becoming mostly sunny, nice and mild Tuesday, mid-70s. Becoming mostly cloudy, upper 50s Tuesday night. And a mix of sun and clouds Wednesday, high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Doug Webster, 1620-945 WTAW.
And I'm Zach Taylor on WTAW. Coming up in sports, we're talking Texas A&M men's basketball, picking up a win Saturday, drumming LSU. Meanwhile, the Aggie women coming up just a little short yesterday to Ole Miss. We'll talk about those two games, as well as the college football national championship tonight and some NFL in sports.
It is 7:39. Giving away a $25 gift card from Cooper's Old Time Pit Barbecue. We're asking you to give us your first and last name and the number of pairs of footwear you have.
Yeah, so let us know. And we do like to know if you're male or female, just because we're doing a very unscientific poll here. 979-695-1620. One guy texted in. He has five pairs of footwear. Another guy said six. Now, another guy said about 25, way more than my wife. We did have a text from a female who said she has about 42.
Okay.
So another female texted in between 125 and 150.
That's a lot.
Yep.
That would be a lot.
Maybe 20 pairs of those are Western boots, though.
All right.
And only two pair are heels.
You know, it gets to the point where, and if you go into to homes now and you see how they're designed and that kind of thing, which is interesting to see how it's changed, you know, closet space.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
And the thing is, you know.
That's probably one of the big. So I did real quick. I kind of just counted in my head, visualizing. I'm probably somewhere between 40 and 45 pair. It would probably be more if I had more space.
Well, you do. Your parents have a house for you.
You have your own storage.
But if if they're not with me, if I don't see them, then I'm not going to wear them. Yeah. And I will say I'm pretty good about that. If I haven't worn something in years, or, you know, I'm like, oh, I forgot I had those, I eventually just get rid of them. Because, I'm not wearing them. I'm not using them. Mine would probably be more if I had more shoe space. But it's also a good thing. Like, I think where I'm at right now is perfect for me.
And that's, you know, because we got an old house, okay? Our house was built 22 years ago.
Okay.
And so what closet space looked like 22 years ago and what it looks like now in houses can be really, really significantly different.
Yeah.
Need lots more room for all sorts of things. And the deal is, look, you're going to have to do something like getting the shoes up off the floor to be able to store a significant number.
Mm-hmm.
Fair to say, right?
Right.
You can't, that's not an efficient way to do it. So do you get those things that you used to be able to buy, these door hanger things you could stick?
That's,
you
know, what I have.
Those are classy.
Yeah, that's what I have. So I have the over the door hangers, and but they're on the inside of the door. So it's when the doors are closed, the closet doors are closed. You can't see the shoes.
Okay, right. But you're a tall girl, and how many pairs of heels do you have, and how do they store in that? I mean, I'm just asking because I don't know.
Like, I have one pair of pumps, like just your typical, like, classic looking heel,
right,
that I don't wear very often just because they're not super comfortable, but those actually store fine. It's the obviously the taller boots and things like that that do not store well in something.
Because the lady who
like
just
that.
Said she had a large number of boots, I'd say two dozen pair.
So I have a couple of pairs of boots and booties, which are the shorter ones, and those I have to keep in their boxes, and those get stored, you know, up on one of my closet shelves. And I will say, you're right, I can reach everything.
Yeah.
And so,
why do you have to keep them in their boxes?
Well, no, I should say that's the easiest way for me to store them is to keep them in their boxes.
I didn't know there was some trick to that. It was like, you got to keep them in the box.
But I know what they are. I know where they are. I know which ones are which, because obviously the boxes identify them, and it makes stacking them easier in my closet.
Well, you mentioned taking them out of the box. You know, understand that there are sneakerheads out there.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So there's a South Korean company that at the Consumer Electronics Show showed off the new Styler shoe case and Styler shoe care products, which are designed to keep your collectible and luxury shoes safe and clean.
Okay,
so there is this trend among millennials and Gen Zers of collecting, selling, and wearing high-end designer, limited edition, and luxury shoes, and it's never been bigger. So They've got the LG Styler shoe case, which is a display case for your shoes, which includes customized lighting and a turntable.
Oh, wow.
To really showcase your collection. And the case keeps your shoes in the optimum humidity and protects them against UV damage.
Good grief.
Because after all, the discolored fabric and leather would impact the price.
They go on your foot.
Well,
a lot of these are collectibles.
Right. These are collectibles.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I've never been a shoe person.
I mean,
I know lots of guys that, the latest one has come out. I got to get my new tennis shoes.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter to me. Whatever. They go on my foot. I wear them till they start falling apart. Then I get some new ones.
No, what you do is they when they start falling apart, you make them lawnmower shoes.
Them.
Yeah. Duct tape them around.
Yeah, can use them for that purpose. I've certainly done that. But
I will say, so whenever we moved into our house, we got a considerably larger closet and quite a bit of space and everything else. But my wife is not a big shoe gal. Mm-hmm. And so while she does have plenty of pairs, she hasn't really added to the collection.
Okay,
at least not that I've noticed. Maybe
but
I just haven't taken a look.
Do you have a built-in in your closet that allows her to put the shoes like off the floor?
So we've got little shelves that you can put on the floor. It's kind of a stack type deal that she had, and so that's where she puts hers. So there's some that are on the floor that go underneath, and then there's kind of a shelf that's on top that she puts up. But I mean, overall, she probably has, I don't know, 20, 25 pair, maybe.
Yeah, that's cool.
Nothing astronomical.
Shoes take up a lot of room. So that's the tough part is just, and especially, like I said, you know, being able to see them and kind of display them, not for other people's eyes, but for you to see what you have and to know what you've got. But somebody texted in and said they worked for California Closets for years, which is a closet organization. Company, I believe.
Yep.
She said the average number of shoes for men was 25 and for women was 75.
Okay.
Okay. One more time. The reason I love this show, it does not matter what we're talking about. There's somebody who can come in and give us expertise and knowledge that we would not have.
Yeah.
Tell me that again.
Yeah. So the average number of shoes for men was 25 and for women was 75. And this was somebody who worked for a closet company for years.
Yeah, closet organization company. All right, there you have it.
Good morning, sports fans. I'm Zach Taylor. It's your morning sports update on 1620 94.5 WTAW. This update is brought to you by Destination Bryan. Your legendary staycation is right here at home in Bryan, Texas, including one-of-a-kind restaurants and nationally recognized museums. Visit DestinationBryan.com for more information. It's 7:50. Now the doing for Texas A&M women's basketball yesterday as it was done in by Ole Miss 57-38. It marked the third time in the last four games that the Aggies had failed to reach 40 points of offense, guard KK Green.
We've been struggling to score for the past couple games. It's nothing that Ole Miss really did to make us like miss shots or anything. It's just something that we have to do. We have to get back in the gym and, you know, put shots up while we're tired. You know, that's really what it is. We don't have any legs right now, so all our shots are short, and you know, the shots that we usually hit are not falling. So we just got to get back to the gym, you know, shoot while we're tired and really just lock in and dig in.
The Maroon and White were shorthanded again yesterday, playing only seven. They dropped a 5-9 overall and 0-4 in SEC play. Meanwhile, the A&M men are riding a four-game win streak following Saturday's 69-56 beatdown of LSU. The Aggs dominated in the paint, outscoring the Tigers 42-10. To get Coach Buzz Williams' take, tune into his radio show tonight from 7 to 8 right here on WTAW. The College Football National Championship is this evening in L.A. as the TCU Horned Frogs take on the Georgia Bulldogs. Now, the Dogs are looking to repeat as champs, while the Frogs are going for their first title since 1938. TCU head man Sonny Dykes.
Obviously our first time to be on a stage like this, and you know, our players have really responded well to the challenge of taking all this in, because it's new for us and it's uncharted territory for most of our players. You've heard me say this before, but we have four players on our team that had ever participated in a bowl game before this year's Fiesta Bowl. So bowl prep, playing in big games like this, is new for many of our guys. Not necessarily new for TCU, but certainly for the players on our team.
The audio is courtesy of Fanatics View. Now, it's been an unprecedented turn for TCU, which finished just 5-7 last year. They'll kick off against the Bulldogs tonight at 6:30 at SoFi Stadium with broadcast on Zone 1150 AM and 93.7 FM. In the NFL, the Houston Texans have fired coach Lovie Smith after only one season. Smith, who served as the team's defensive coordinator last year, was promoted to head man in the offseason and led Houston to a 3-13-1 record. Now, the Texans ended their season with a 32-31 win over Indianapolis yesterday, meaning they will miss out on the number one overall pick in the draft. The Dallas Cowboys closed out their regular season with a whimper, falling to the Washington Commanders 26-6. Dallas suffered the loss despite playing its starters most of the game. The 12-5 boys will kick off their postseason run next Monday when they visit Tampa Bay for the NFC wildcard round. Both the Rockets and Mavericks came up on the short end yesterday. Houston fell to Minnesota 104-96, while Dallas was done in by Oklahoma City 122-109. And out on the ice, Jason Robertson found the net twice to lead the Dallas Stars over the Florida Panthers 5-1. The win snapped a two-game losing skid for Dallas. And that's been your morning sports update, brought to you by Destination Brian on 1620 94.5 WTAW. I'm Zach Taylor.
It is about 4 minutes till. It's the Infomaniacs. We're in the WC Tractor Studio, your local award-winning Kubota New Holland dealer in Bryan and Navasota, about half an hour away from giving away a Cooper's Old Time Pit Barbecue gift card. We're trying to find out how many pairs of footwear you have.
Yeah, let us know. 979-695-1620 is our number. And we'd like to know if you're male or female. We are taking a very unscientific poll this morning. And so far, the trend is clear to kind of what we thought, is that women definitely have more shoes than men.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And we just got a text from somebody who works for California Closets, which is an organizer who gave us some numbers, at least what, nationwide or whatever they...
Yeah, you know, according to their, you know, I guess
research.
Their statistics, yeah. And their research, and it's typically that men have about 25 pairs of shoes and women 75, so yeah. About three times the amount.
So what's the deal with the A&M men's basketball team? I thought.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
They were going to lose the rest of their game.
I thought they were circling the drain. Right?
Oh no,
yeah,
no.
They bounced back in a big way on Saturday.
They played great.
They had a big win. Of course, Chelsea was in attendance. I know.
I went as a fan. It was lovely.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, it was a good time.
What all your LSU friends think?
Yeah. They did not think it was so lovely. Where we happened to sit, there were even more, you know, LSU people I did not know around us. So it's always kind of fun to be the one person
you're
cheering.
You're the woo girl. That's it.
The woo girl is out in full force on Saturday.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, the guys, I mean, they looked really, really good. Now, if LSU hits a few of the threes, which they attempted a lot, and they hit them early on and then kind of went on a little bit of a drought, maybe it would have been a different game. But, you know, they didn't hit them. So.
Mm-hmm. No, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Hey, kind of a neat story. Our buddy Robert Cessna wrote this in yesterday's paper. A graduate of Bryan High is on the officiating crew tonight. His name is Brian Perry.
Okay.
If you're an old guy like I am, you remember his daddy. His daddy was Bobby Joe Perry, who was a basketball coach at Bryan High School.
Okay.
And of course, Brian played for his dad, decided to head off in a different direction. And, you know, like everybody else who ends up moving up in their profession, they started by doing, you know, junior high basketball, football games, and, you know, then junior college, and they worked their way up. He was in the SWAC. But called some bowl games. But tonight he will be at SoFi Stadium as part of the officiating.
That's
crew.
Awesome.
Cool. Yeah, that's
somebody
awesome.
From Bryan. He lives in Houston now, and it is. It's kind of a fun story to see out there. So in the meantime, I was looking at things that cause children's asthma. We're going to get to the point where we can't do anything.
Kids ruining it for everybody.
A study published by the International Journal of Environmental Research, which is doing everything they can to go find bad things in the environment, obviously, attributes 13% of childhood asthma cases to the use of gas stoves. Gas stoves are now causing this.
So okay.
If you have a gas stove, I guess you're supposed to get rid of this. It doesn't say if this study was sponsored by the Electric Council or not. But anyway, researchers used census data from 2013 to analyze and found that children in homes with gas stoves were 42% more likely to develop asthma.
Wood burning it is.
Well, it doesn't say anything about whether their parents smoke, where they live, any of those things.
Or if they're in China.
Exactly right. Exactly. We had this study earlier that was based in China. Sorry to do that to you. Peanut M&Ms were invented by a guy named Forrest Mars, who was allergic to peanuts.
Oh, interesting.
That's cool.
A little bit of that stuff. So the guy who invented the Slinky had a nervous breakdown, moved to Bolivia to be a missionary, and eventually joined a cult. But he left the company to his wife. And he never came back.
Wow.
I know.
It was all the fans and paparazzi from making the Slinky?
Not exactly sure. Just a little bit bizarre.
Very
weird.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
Bryan Broadcasting Station, WTAW, College Station, Bryan.